elderly. And that's where my niche was. I worked in ICU for 4 years. Geriatrics most of my career, and wound care all through my career. So when we were talking about the heart, and the reason why I left ICU is my husband said, now, Millie, you can't just keep calling that unit and checking on those people. You got to leave work where it's at. Well, I couldn't do it. I had to check on them. So then I just thought, well, I'm going to have to get into another field because it was consuming me. But there's also heart conditions in the spiritual realm. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 16:7. Here's what I like to do to Angelo. He knows the word so good, but every once in a while, I'll actually beat him, Frank. And then I'll go, that's in the New Testament, hon. This one's in the Old Testament, by the way. But I did almost make a blooper. Tell your granddaughter, don't feel bad, because yesterday or today, I said, let's turn to the Philippines. And Angela looked at me and goes, I meant Philippians. 1 Samuel 16:7. Is it up there? Yep. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord sees not a man, sees, but looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, I thought about that. I thought, well, when he looks at the heart, what is he looking for? What's the quality of that heart that he wants to see? Let's look at 1 Samuel 13:14. But now the kingdom, this is King James Version, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. So we know this, God has a heart. Okay, after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commandeth thee. Now when you see Lord in capital letters, and Melissa knows this, that means Yahweh, okay? Yahweh means I am. I am the Lord, I am. So it's saying Yahweh commanded it. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now being a nurse, I have got to know where things are, Sherry. You know what I mean? If someone says to me, heart, I'm thinking, yep, right there underneath the sternum there, a little bit to the left, heart. No, not in this realm. We're talking the spirit realm. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. Where's the heart, Mary? Well, the heart is a composition of the mind and the spirit. I got something. Here's an example. These are just plastic containers. We're going to pretend. Spirit fits into the soul, fits into the body. Okay? The heart. Heart. Soul. Spirit. Makes it a little easier, huh? Coco was just wondering what those were for. Now, if you study this subject, it'll show you a circle with two other circles in the middle if you study this topic. Now, the body in the Greek is soma. That's what you see. Mary, this is my body, such as God gave it to me. Bless him. Bless the Holy Ghost. This is it. But you can't see my soul or my spirit because it's not physical. It's a spiritual part of me. Okay. Soma, body. Soul. Greek is psyche. That's where we get the word psychiatry. Translated life of a person. That's their personality, their emotions, their inward, their animation, their thoughts, their opinions. It's who we are. You know, when the Titanic sank, so many souls were lost. They were referring to the essence of those people. Spirit, in the Greek, pneuma, meaning breath. Now, during the summer, I started studying this. And I asked Melissa, I said, Melissa, when God made man, and he formed him out of the dirt, and he breathed in him, was he breathing oxygen? What was he breathing? No, he was breathing spirit into him, because God is what? Spirit. He was breathing spirit into him. So then, here's an interesting thing. When a person passes, if you've ever worked hospice, I got to give it to those nurses. That's a hard thing. What you will notice, or if you watch someone pass, sometimes their spirit will leave them, but the body remains. They may still have a heartbeat. They may still breathe. But you can tell they're not there. They've gone. And you just have to wait for the body to surrender. So that's kind of explains where the heart is, what it is, and what it functions. The spirit is that part of us that's our life force. Not like Star Wars. It's our life force. And once it leaves you, you remember that part in the Bible where it's talking about Jairus' daughter? Is it Jairus, hon? Jairus' daughter, where she passes and Jesus goes to pray for her and she comes back to life. What it says there is her spirit returns to her. Boom, she's back to life. So, now, Kelly's really big on scripture as far as proving your point. So let's look at Matthew 9:4. They got it? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? What do you think with? Your mind. But it says it's your heart. So I'm proving to you that your mind is your heart. Okay? Acts 11:23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that would cleave unto the Lord. That's your will. Your purpose is your will. Okay? Your will is what you decide. You make a decision. Okay? That's your mind. Again, a thought. And then John 16:22. And you know now, therefore, having sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Emotions. Your emotions are located in your mind. Again, or here's your spirit. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Where is faith at? In your spirit. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So again, we're talking about the spirit man now. So that's part of your heart. All right, the heart. The verses in the heart, like I said, is over 1,000 times in the Bible, so it's important. It is the very core of our being. It's the entrance of everything and the exit of everything. Okay, the body contains the soul. The soul is a vessel that contains the spirit. The spirit is where God dwells. That's where the Spirit or the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. So when the Spirit of God leaves, you're no longer here. The soul is where our self dwells, where our identity, as you can see me and say, yeah, that's Millie, I know her. She can't sing very well, but she's a really nice person, kind of quiet, okay? The body is the physical. It's what you recognize outwardly of the person. Just an interesting anecdote. George Washington, like Saul, had a very strong presence. He was a general in our army. He helped us win independence from England. He stood 6'2", broad shoulders. He was called the father of our nation. Like Saul, his outward appearance was very majestic. But God says, I look at a person's heart. Saul had the look, a kingly look. God's looking for a kingly heart. Let's look at John 3:5-6. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, this body, is flesh. And that that is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's where we get that term. You must be born again. Because in the Garden of Eden, when whatever fruit that was, the knowledge of good and evil, that spirit of God that was in them died. Okay? You have to be born again. So, here's my question. And I'll go through it really quick because I'm going to try to get done. How am I doing, sweetie? All right. What was it about David that he was a man after God's own heart? And what was God looking for in that heart? I want to know that because I want him to say to me, you know, Millie's a woman after my own heart. Wouldn't that be wonderful for God to say of you? Now, David, he messed up, Angel. I mean, the man committed adultery. He murdered. There was incest in his family. He had a few problems. But God loved his heart. Why? David had faith. He believed in God, and he believed God could do what he was going to do. And no matter what, God had the battle. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17:47. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. Whoop. Let's Let's go back to where we were. And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Okay, now let's go to 47. First Samuel 17:47. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord, capital letters, saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So your battle, no matter what, if you have the faith enough to believe, it belongs to the Lord. It's a hard thing when you're pressed. I know, don't I, hon? When you're pressed, it's a hard thing to know. It's a hard thing to keep. David's had trust. 1 Samuel 24, 12 through 13. The Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord avenge me of thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancient, wickedness has proceeded the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. He had trust that God would take care of any situation, including his enemies. And he did not have to defend himself against his enemies. If God was for you, who could be against you? David loved God. If you read, we're not going to go there. Psalm 63. He even, like I said, Saul, who was after him, Saul wanted to kill him. Saul went into a cave to go to the bathroom, and he could have easily killed him there. What did he do? He cut his robe, the corner of his robe off. And after Saul walked away, he walked out and said, I could have, but I didn't. You know. So he trusted the Lord even with his enemies. He wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms. So he had this love for God, and he expressed it in his emotions, in his songs, in his thoughts. And David, the other number four, he remained humble. And one of my favorite situations, scriptures that I like about David, is 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, Lord? Who am I? I am not anything without you. That's why he says that. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house? I am, I think, the eighth son of Jesse. I'm the youngest. I don't even have that much of an inheritance. I have nothing but you, Lord. And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? He understands that everything that he is, everything that he will be, is from the Lord. So he remains humble. David knew how to worship. Let's look at 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 16. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David on the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, now there's all kinds of way to pronounce this woman's name. We looked it up. Michal. Michael, for all purposes, we're going to call her Michelle. Michelle, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Her heart wasn't right. And because of that, that woman never bore a child. But David knew how to humble himself before the Lord. He knew how to worship the Lord. Let's look at 2 Samuel 6, verse 21 and 22. Now, she tongue-lashed him for doing that. Because after all, he's king of all of Israel. He strips off his royal robes and puts on a linen ephod. And David said unto her, or Michelle, it was before the Lord which chose me before your father, thy father, and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this. If you think this is bad, Michelle, you watch, because I'm going to worship the Lord. And I will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, and of them shall I be held in honor. So he's just letting her know, no matter what, he's going to worship the Lord like the Lord deserves it. Okay. David had a repentant heart. Now, the other night I read this psalm. Psalm 51 is the one where he repents for what he did. We even have a song about that. And it's so touching, that psalm. David is deserving of the death penalty. Nathan comes to him and talks to him. What about this man that took this only lamb from this guy? And that parable there. And then Nathan lays the boom on him and says, that was you. You took the only wife of this man that was serving you for your own, then tried to cover it up. And so David said, you're right. I have sinned against God. And he repents of this. And then in Psalm 51, we see him pouring out his heart. Now, Nathan tells him that God's going to put away your sin. He's not going to kill you. But you're still going to pay for it. And David loses his son. All right. Now, am I still doing okay, Ann? All right. Now, we're going to talk about one category of the heart, the hard heart. A hardened heart always reflects the willful self-hardening and rejection of God by a sinner. Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and God hardened his heart. What's the difference between God hardening your heart and Pharaoh? Pharaoh did it over a number of years, and he does it there several times. It's a willful act of his own. When God hardens your heart, it's out of judgment. And because of time, I'm going to have to. The Hebrew word for to harden means to strengthen. I had a hard time understanding that until I studied it out, Mary. But here's what happened. When God hardened his heart, it means to strengthen. And what happened is Pharaoh said, I am not going to let those Israelites go. He had a resolve. I'm not going to do it. That's what happens. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. True story. I'm going to change the name. I knew this man named John. He was probably in his 80s when I met him. And he was a loner. And he would take the bread from the cafeteria. And at the end of the meal that everybody didn't eat, you know, he'd break it up and feed the birds. And I noticed he was a loner, so I used to sit with him. And I'd say, John, no one comes to visit you. And he goes, I know, Mel. I was not a good man. And I said, John, what about your son? He's listed on your chart. And he goes, we had a falling out years ago. And I said, how about we call him? And we put that right. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I did this for years. Years, over 10 years. And then I knew it was getting close to John's time to go. And I said, John, met him there at that table again. I had me a cup of coffee. I got him a cup of coffee. I said, your time is almost end. He He goes, I know. I said, how about we call your son? You come to the Lord. You forgive him. He forgive you. He said, Millie, you've been talking to me about this for years. God's knocking. He'll knock a long time. But it comes to the point. He said, Millie, I'm not going to call my son. I just won't do it. He hardened his heart, Sherry. And then God hardened his heart. He had a resolve. I'm not going to do it, Millie, no matter what. I said, John, all you have to, I'll shut the door, Mary. I'll call him. We'll talk. We'll get it right. I'm not going to do it, Millie. He died. The next week. God will knock for a long time. No matter what it is that you've felt or hardened your heart about. Whether you have something against someone in a relationship, whether it's a sin that you're secretly hiding, that you think you're secretly hiding, it's time to let him in. Don't be like John. Don't be like John. In every instance that God hardens the heart, he stops knocking. It's out of judgment. And it's in response to a willful act by that person. And that's what I've got to say. So I'm asking you today, hon, you want to come up here with me? Do you have a heart condition? Is there something in your heart?
God was speaking just a moment ago. You felt that, some of you. Created me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. And you know what? The hour is late. We're ready to go. If God was dealing with you, see, it's important to get people while God's dealing with them. If God was dealing with you and you're saying, yes, I want God to help me with this. Stand up. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as people are deciding what they're going to do with this message, oh God, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. For everybody that's standing, forgive them, oh God, for they know not what they do. Help them instead of having to judge them. Help them, God. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Didn't she do good? Amen.
Well, we didn't get to all 1,000 scriptures, but
no, trust me.